Montego, host of Fans of Patrol. With me is my wonderful co-host, Miss Tifflebot. What's happening with you this week in the land, Tifflebot?
Oh, not much. Excited to be able to be here doing the correct movie.
Yeah. What does that mean? Like, we did the wrong movie?
You know, no. Like, I frequently I'm like, oh, we're going to do this one, or it's on VOD or whatever. And then, you know, on Friday, I'm like, oh, fuck.
Oh, yeah. Well, that happens.
Get thee to the theater.
Indeed. So we have actually a very exciting show for you this week, man. So because of that Brazil Comic-Con that happens, like, they dropped a bunch of new trailers for the summer. So we're going to be looking at Indiana Jones, Guardians of the Galaxy. Was there anything else? Was it three?
Yeah, there was a trailer for Transformers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. How could I forget about big robots?
I should have just let you. I should just be like, no, I don't think there was another one. I think it's just us two.
No, so we're going to be checking that shit out. And, you know, our main topic is devotion. It's a little, not a very famous movie right now, it started building in momentum and people are watching this movie. So I said, well, let me see what all the hubbub is about. And especially one of the draws is it had Jonathan Majors in it. And goddamn, he making all the money. All of a sudden, he making all the money.
Yes, he's coming up.
Man. I ain't mad at the black man. Make that money, black man. Anyway, we also are doing our top hero list of all time. And our lists vary a bit. So you guys are going to want to... pay attention to that because it's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. To come in to when we do it. It's just a little bit different.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. And so that's going to be the show for this week, man. We're kicking off the Christmas, you know. got a lot. It's a lot of shit suddenly, Tiff, that I'm like, we can do this, we can do this, we can do this, we can do this. So it's going to be great. So saying all the stuff that is good in the universe, are you ready to roll?
Well, yeah.
Let's go! We have come back through the black smoke, man, to talk about social media.
Oh, shit. I'm over here watching. I'm getting ready. You knew it. You trapped me. No, I'm kidding. For everything Fans of Patrol.
Website. On our social. Website is being repaired as we speak. I'm rolling on it now, Tiff. So.
Okay. Well, for now, yeah. Visit us on our socials, which is at Fans of Patrol on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Yeah.
You can check out our TikTok, which is Fans of Patrol, the number zero.
Yeah.
our Patreon for $1, you can hear some extra episodes. Check us out on YouTube and your favorite listening platform.
Indeed. So, ma'am.
No such as.
It's been a while since we did like a trailer on this show, man.
I think it's been a while since we had my favorite shows that we do have historically been trailer shows, mostly because I think they're easy to talk about and like something that we all like. If you're listening to this episode and you haven't seen one of these trailers, you can literally pause it and watch the trailer. It's like a minute and 30 seconds and come back and have, you know what I mean? I like talking about trailers. Usually when we get to talk about trailers, we only have a couple good ones to talk about. And today we have three.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we're going to start with Indiana Jones, which was the first one we're going to talk about.
It doesn't matter. You choose.
Okay, well, I already have Guardians pulled up.
Okay, so
let's do it.
Not on my radar.
Not me either.
I knew they were doing another one. I think because of the Guardians of the Galaxy's performance in the last Thor movie, I was unexcited about them again. Something was off, you know. I think the fact that they did not have Gamora in their mix, and you know, there were some new, you know, Guardians, but all of which who we were used to, it just something seemed really off. And I think it had more to do with Star-Lord, and I don't know if he was acting the way he was acting to be acting, or was he just mailing it in. I don't know. It felt like mailing it in to me, you know. So
how do you feel about this trailer then?
I feel that it's back on track, but it seemed very sad to me, you know?
See, that's funny that you say that.
Yes.
Because what I was going to say about this trailer was it really just seems like everyone's phoning it in.
You feel and like also, everyone was phoning it in? I thought everyone was great, and the only person that I still think that he looks like he's
the worst.
Phoning it in. Yeah.
He's the worst. And also, we're going to get some – we're here on the show to be rude or whatever.
All right.
I am not a thin person. Everyone in this
Him chunky. Him chunky like me. Him chunky like me.
Besides,
we need to go to the gym, Tiff. Me and him together.
There's nothing wrong. And here's the thing. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Mm. I don't. But they're trying to like hide it.
Yeah.
With the big. And I'm like, just let the man be fat.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't. He can be fat and be a person in a movie.
And they all got on sleek uniforms
and,
now.
And I think that like. I feel the same a little bit about Dave Bautista.
Drax,
his head
100%.
Has gotten so big or something like so. And I don't know if in order to like put the muscle suit on, I mean, he's already a muscly man. So like, I don't know if there's something wrong with his head, but I feel like they had to put more and more makeup on it. And all of a sudden he's got this giant head. He's always gotten a bit. He's always had a big head. So like, it just looks, and they all are kind of like this. Hey.
See, I didn't feel that way with the trailer. The trailer
we're
thought
the
was
Guardians
good.
Of the Galaxy, and here's some shit that you fucking remember. Remember how Groot says the Groot thing? Yeah, we can't fucking forget because you won't.
God
let us.
Damn, Tiff.
I actually have a deep hatred for Groot. I mean, everybody loves that fucking shit. I am so sick of that shit.
Really?
He is the Jar Jar Binks of fucking Guardians of the Galaxy. Yes,
boo.
He is.
But, I disagree.
Yeah, fucking boomy. And when he was a teenager, listen, I fucking hate regular teenagers, and I don't want to see a stick man teenager.
Oh,
and
no.
Nothing's funny about his piece of shit attitude. Listen, fine. Enjoy your Groot. That's fine. That we all have our rights.
I like the little buff Groot running around and stuff.
The only thing I like, and I kind of maybe think that maybe people don't realize this is what they like about Groot, is his interaction with Rocket Raccoon.
Yeah, yeah. Rocket's my favorite Avenger character. You know, I love
him. I'm looking at this and I think Rocket Raccoon is, but he's an animated whatever. The bug girl, what's her name?
Mantis. I love her.
She's going for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and I think she's doing a great job. The sister.
Yep.
She's hardly in this. So, but she seems to be doing a fine job.
Yep.
And then there's sad Chris Pratt.
Yeah, I was very happy.
Dragging the team down.
Yeah, I was very happy to see Gamora because I thought she was just like gone because of, you know, the Avengers movie. And so when I saw her, I was like, well, good, because they need her. I mean, it really feels missing when she's not there.
Yeah, I feel like, because I also feel like she's a very good foil for it. Because and that's part of the reason it's kind of sad or whatever, but like she was his kind of, he's a goof.
Yeah, and she was a serious.
And she's a very stoic person.
Yeah.
So I think that whole thing worked, but part of me is looking at this and just thinks it's time.
Well, it's number 3, right?
To be over.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Uh-huh. No more adventures.
I see. Okay. I want to say this. Next week, we are reviewing the Christmas special, Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special. I've seen it already, and I got my love back for the whole crew. I'm just saying.
Well,
holy shit. I'm going to say that for a preview of next week. I thought they were in trouble until I watched the Christmas show. And now, more of that.
I will say that if I'm an honest person, every movie that I have, a lot of times in the past, it kind of happens where like I'll be like, this looks like shit.
Yeah, and then you go there, you're like, more of this.
I love
more
it.
Of this.
And I don't know if it's because I'm not coming in with no expectations. I'm coming in with bad expectations.
Okay.
And sometimes if you're coming in so low.
Yeah, yeah.
Something got, you don't have to do that much.
Okay. All right.
You know what I'm saying?
All right. Well, I say I'm yay. I say yay, but I still think the Pete character is, I get it. He's sad, but goddamn. Okay.
Like you said, is he sad or is
he
Chris
Pratt?
In?
I don't know.
Like,
I can't tell. I can't tell.
Think about that last dinosaur movie. He seemed to be the exact same character in that movie.
Oh, just sad and stuff.
Just like a weird, sad white man.
Yeah, but I watched him in that Netflix movie he had where he was like the soldier.
Are you talking about? You're talking about the Amazon Prime movie where he goes back in time?
No. He was a soldier. It's a movie about the Navy SEALs. Like, and it's really, really good. And he did a really excellent job in it, man. But, I mean, he was not a happy person in the damn thing, you know, but it was good. It's good. If you get a chance, check it out.
You're supposed to not be happy in a movie. But
okay.
I feel like this movie maybe is not the case.
All right. Well, let's skirt on over to Lucasfilm and check out Indiana Jones. So
okay.
This is what I want to say. God damn, I hate eating crow. God damn,
yeah,
I hate eating crow.
Look God damn.
It looks so good, y'all. It looks good. I was like, shit, this looks really, really good.
I will say that, like, more eating crow than you is going to be me because I made fun of him. I think, and here's the thing, we haven't seen the whole movie yet.
No, but he looked good. He did not look
like a... He looked pretty good. Yes, he doesn't look like a shambling old man.
He did not.
But also, I think they're finding ways to keep the action old man appropriate.
Well, they did a hell of a job, at least with this trailer, because I just
And
was
it's
like,
got Phoebe Waller-Bridge in it, which I had somehow forgotten. And I love her.
Who the hell is she?
She was the robot in Lando. Calrissian.
Okay, I don't know what she
looks like. No, what's that movie called? The one with Solo.
Solo, yeah.
She's the robot that they think that he has sex with.
Right. So what else has she done? But where I've seen her face.
Well, was in Fleabag, which you've probably never seen.
Of course I have not seen.
I think if you saw her, you might recognize her, but I can't be sure. Cause she's not like my mom wouldn't know her. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not like she's a household name.
I hope Shia LaBeouf isn't in it.
Actually, I'm going to say.
I hope he's not.
If Shia LaBeouf showed up, I'd have a little giggle.
Oh, man. I would be like, no, don't do this, Bubba. No, no, Bubba, no.
But like, I think this looks... There's the scene with the guns, and he's got his whip, and he's like, oh, shit, he ducks. I mean, there's a lot of, like,
laugh out loud
Indiana Jones.
Laugh out loud moment. I literally was cracked the hell up when he ducked under that table, and all the bullets started flying. I was like, you know, you take that old-ass joke, and you make it even fun. God damn it. Bravo. Bravo.
I just do think that, like, maybe the secret key ingredient to this film is them acknowledging the fact that he is old.
The de-aging technology was phenomenal.
So they do this in the movie. They say, like, he's like, I'm old.
Yep.
I'm too old for adventure. But, like, this way he's got that monologue with that guy who's like, don't you, like, miss
Sala.
Having an adventure?
Now, Sala looks old.
Which he looks, well, ooh, but he also, shit, not that old for how old. I mean, he kind of looks the same. Do you know what I mean? Like,
you know what he
needs. I think
he's
reached a certain age and just stop aging, even if it's an old age.
Sala needs a beard, though. He was kind of missing, you know. He should have had a big, robust beard. You know, like, hide some of that shit, you know. It's like, whoa, Sala. But, man. God damn it. I saw that thing and my heart was just like, I gotta go on a show and eat some crow. I was like, shit looks great. God damn it. Oh, I talked about it like a dog. We talked about it like a dog.
We did. I was so mean. I was so mean that I think I asked you to take a part out. Right. So I think, like, yeah. Here's the thing. I'm okay with changing my mind. That's the thing. I think that in order to be just a general good consumer of any media, if you want to talk about it, you need to be willing. And here's the thing, we may be today being like, yeah, Indiana Jones 5, and then we might go to the theater and be like,
the best parts was in the trailer, right.
We've been bamboozled. Yeah. But that's the risk you take.
Yeah, more of this is what I have to say.
Yeah, just show me, just stitch 10 to 20 of those together, and you're good, you're golden.
Yeah. So Tiff, let's get to the big kahuna of the day. Well, they are all big kahunas.
Well, for you.
They're all big kahuna. So, first of all, we got Transformers, and everybody hates Transformers, except for the Bumblebee movie. Everybody
true.
Loves the Bumblebee movie. And Tiffobot, I think this is connected to the Bumblebee
He's
movie.
He's a Bumblebee-esque.
I seen Bumblebee like he did in the Bee movie. Optimus Prime is old school Optimus Prime, you know, from the Bumblebee movie. So if we continue the Bumblebee journey, then we're in good shape. If you go back to the bullshit before with this knights in the shining armor and all the dumb shit they was doing with the Transformers.
Oh, that was fucking terrible.
If you go back to that franchise, then it's going to be garbage. I'm not a Beast Wars person. That's not my generation.
This is what this is.
Yeah, but what I think it is, so I think that the Transformers are playing with time. So, because the ape is Optimus Prime too. So I'm wondering if he's, you know, if it's different time periods that are intersecting with each other. Because I'm like, that's Optimus too.
Oh, so you're saying this is going to be, part of it's going to be in the past, part of it in the future, but it'll come... one storyline.
That's what I got from watching the trailer. I was like,
yeah.
You know, is it something like that happening? You know, which is fine because, you know, Transformers always had space bridges and shit like that and things that can get, that you can just explain away.
Things that you don't believe. Like, here's the thing. You're already watching a show about transforming robots that talk from outer space. They might as well just do whatever they want.
Right.
You know what I mean? The sun is an egg, and the egg is full of robots, and they're born, and they shoot to the planet Earth, or whatever it is. It doesn't matter.
And on a cartoon, they took liberties like that. So it was like, it was fine. So
it's a cartoon.
This looks there right was a few, my
okay, here's the thing. One, I have a really hard time separating my feelings generally about Transformers because if I did not do this show, I would never watch any of these things. Even if I was, like, when I see this if I saw this trailer and I hadn't been on the show, I'd be like, okay. I probably wouldn't be bothered by it, but I wouldn't be like, yeah. But now, since I know that I'm going to have to see the film.
Yes.
And try not to be upset about it,
yes.
Which I'm not. When I saw this trailer, actually, I like the robot animals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I thought they were kind of cool. But also, that one, they have little attitudes. Obviously, that's what everyone likes about. They all have their different kind of personalities. And the two in here that I really like, the one with that's like a woman.
RC, robot. Yeah.
And she's holding on to the thing, and then the little girl saying that she's, oh, it's not real. And then she waves at her. I mean, that's very cute and very funny. Yeah. I like that. That's kind of humor that I enjoy and this kind of stuff. And I think, I even thought that when he's driving the car and he comes in and he gets out seamlessly and he turns into the robot.
Yeah.
That was cool.
I'm pretty sure that's going to be Jazz. So it looks like they're like still around the 80s or like the time the actual cartoon was on. You know, because the Bumblebee movie was in the 80s, and then he turned into a Corvette, you know, and so it still looks like it's kind of around the same time, which would be, I like, you know, keep it back there, because that way you can use the old school cars that they had for Transformers.
Real cars.
Yeah, and that'd be slick to me, man. So I was not excited about the Beast Wars at all, because I'm like, I'm not really into that. But when I saw that they were using Generation 1 Transformers from, like, when I saw the B Transformer, I was like, oh, shit, that's when I got excited. I was like, oh, shit, so it's more Bumblebee, not something else, you know, because really, you can trash all those movies and just leave B as the quintessential, you know, Transformer.
Right, movie. I feel like you could, like, if you want to retcon it.
Right, retcon it from there.
You could have just got rid of all the, I mean, I know that I think people like that first Transformers movie as kind of like just something that like came of their childhood that they love, right?
Yeah,
it's kind of like hard to separate your feelings about how it's good or not.
Yeah.
But the Bumblebee movie, like, objectively, if you don't like, I mean, it's not going to win, as I say on the show a lot, not going to win an Academy Award, but it's an excellent popcorn film.
Oh yeah, 100%.
So you would want to like start there and just go forward with like, don't sell me serious. The thing about it is that, yeah, you're right. Like, a lot of times in cartoons from the 80s and stuff that we watched as kids, they were dealing with, like, really serious kind of shit.
Yeah, they were.
Like, and world-ending stuff. I don't know if they – I mean, I'm sure there's some kids' cartoons that do that now, but I think, like, a lot more of it is, like, ooh, backyardigans, we found a blade of grass or whatever it is they do.
Yeah. That's kind
of
shit my kids watch. They're like adults now. They still watch their old cartoons, and I'm like, they're not even good, y'all.
they're just like, let's – I think, you know, and there's something to be said about children's cartoon programming for children that is, like, very much innocent, because children are innocent. But, like, we're watching shit where, like, the fate of the world is in play here. There's, like – threats of like nuclear type shit, you know. I mean, I was like, and I'm like watching Ren and Stimpy and just being completely fucked up by it, you know, like shit like that.
So I'm in for all three of these. You got, I was in. You didn't even have to show me this, and I would be in. But great job, at least in the trailers, and hopefully that, you know, it won't be a change once we get to the theater, you know, and you're like, what is this garbage?
Risk.
Always, but yeah. All of them seem to start from a good spot. And Indiana Jones, going back to that, didn't look like it was like trying to. I hate when they try to top themselves. You know, that's you know, you threw just aliens and shit in there to try to top whatever with this alien skull. It's like, what are you doing? Steven, what are you doing?
Steven. Just like make a movie that tells a story. And here's the thing, if you don't have the story, don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't force bullshit in because you need something.
Yeah, it always gets me when you hear actor talk about, well, the script has been bad for years and I was waiting for a good script. And when I read the script, I knew it was me. No, you needed some cash because this movie sucked. And you try to act right. Like you're serious. Like,
oh, they changed it. They didn't change it.
No, they didn't. So anyway, man, that's it for the news, man. We had some nice, robust news. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're gonna have our list, man, of top five heroes. Yeah, we'll be right back. All right, man, we have returned. We're back on the scene, and it's time for our top five heroes. Now, I know we did this a little bit differently, Temple-wise. So why don't you explain to the people how you compiled your list?
So my list is top five movies about heroic figures.
About heroic figures. Okay.
Yeah, like a kind of like biopics, I guess, or like real stories told in film.
Okay, so my list is about heroes that don't have goddamn movies. Why the hell not? Because they should all of these people should have movies, especially considering the shit that Hollywood puts out. You know, it's way had a lot of room for these stories. So there we go, and they all happen to be brothers, black men. So there we go. Not even women, because I'm a man.
Oh my god!
And I wanted to see some
excellent, excellent argument.
That's right. So Tiff, you're number one.
Okay, number five, right?
Number five. I'm sorry. Yes.
So my number five is the movie Apollo 13.
Okay. All right.
And I will say that because I think I watched it a lot as a child. I think like my parents liked that movie. Mm-hmm. And so it has like a good meaning for me, but also like, I like a movie in which people know that they might be doomed and are faced with that inevitability.
Okay.
In the real time. I think it's because I think that if I were to find out that I'm probably going to die,
yeah.
I would turn into a gelatinous mass of weeping. And not be able to do anything. I wouldn't be like, let's keep the mission going. I'd be like, let's just burn it up now.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that movie, Tom Hanks, Bill Paxton, and...
Bill Paxton.
I think it was Gary Sinise in that.
Yeah,
Ed Harris, I think, was in that movie.
Ed Harris is in it, yes.
Yeah. It's a fine film. I haven't seen it in so long, I can't remember.
Yeah, it's been a while even for me to have seen it.
If I liked it or not. Okay, so my number five. It's a cheat, because there actually is a movie about
this. Well, then I see how it goes.
The Tuskegee Airmen, and this is why I put it on there, because I've seen two films about the Tuskegee Airmen, and I think both of them sucked ass. Especially the
one. You don't like the first one?
No, especially the one because it was low value. It was like a Showtime movie or something like that. It had a Lawrence Fishburne, but it's just no.
And Larry.
Then they had like one that George Lucas did. And it was god awful. Could you guys do a real movie and stop maybe focusing on so many people and like just make a movie about somebody in the Tuskegee Airmen, and you can do history like that and stop making shit, because that history is so dope, and it's been two shit movies about it. And I'll argue with anybody to say those movies were good, because they weren't. So there we go. Tuskegee Airmen.
Amazing. Because they weren't.
they were terrible, terrible films. So your number four, Tiffobot.
So my number four is Frida, about Frida Kahlo, the Mexican artist.
Oh, okay. School me. I have no idea what you're talking about.
So she was an artist. She's known for painting self-portraits that weren't necessarily flattering. So, like, she would have her, like, unibrow and, like, a mustache.
Okay.
And she just lived this kind of amazing life. And it's about the trials and tribulations. Like, I think she couldn't have children. And she had this husband. And they kind of just – he was also an artist. And they traveled around and the difficulties that they experienced. And it's just a really very good movie if you are all interested in art.
Don't sound like my
and strong female. No, I bet you wouldn't like it.
That don't sound like a Montego flick.
But it's a good movie. It's a good film.
Okay. And shit like that can be surprising. That's for sure. You're like,
sure.
You know, I could give a shit, but this was good. You know, you know. So my my next one was an actual person, and that's Dory Miller. He was a mess attendant, kitchen worker from Waco, Texas, and that was aboard the battleship, the West Virginia, and when it came under attack in Pearl Harbor. Now, there in the movie Pearl Harbor, they kind of have a guy that's supposed to be him, and like, I mean, it is him, but and they kind of show him, like, but he has no story. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, the cook is looking at the guys. Now, the cook grabbed a gun. I think Cuba Gooding Jr. might have played him or something like that.
Okay.
But, you know, he died shortly after that. Like, he didn't live that long. I mean, you know, so, but I think his you know, the way that black men were treated in the military back then, you know, was so deplorable. And, you know, the stereotypes of black people being cowards and all this other shit, you know, and he's one of the guys that's like stood on that deck throughout the whole battle and, you know, was tearing up planes and did his duties. And all he get is a quick little second in a Michael Bay. I mean, not even Michael Bay. What was it? A Jerry Bruckheimer film, you know, so yeah. You Bastards.
I've never seen that movie.
It's a terrible movie.
Okay. You know, the thing about my life is that when I was younger, a young lady, you know, about the time that those kind of movies probably would have really appealed to people, like, you would assume, assumptions, that a young woman would want to watch a Pearl Harbor. I love it.
Yeah, because they went hard with that shit.
As a child, as a young lady, probably, like, I wasn't into...
Yeah, Kate Beckinsale's storyline, screwing both of the best friends, and, you know, yeah. I mean, it just, they went hard with that shit, and it was just like, nobody cares. I mean...
Nobody cares.
It was a terrible movie. It was a terrible movie. Yeah, yeah. So, your number three, Tiflebot?
My number three. Mm-hmm. My number three is Hidden Figures.
Oh, it's an excellent film. Excellent, subject matter. Yeah.
And I will say that, like... I like that they show a lot of hardships of the women that she experienced. I mean, I think that none of us will forget her running across the campus so she could pee.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And she would just wait all day.
Yeah.
But I will say that I do like the movie, and I really like it because, like, it brought attention to these women who were so fucking brilliant.
These geniuses.
Like, just like, naturally just knew how the shit worked.
Yeah.
And people are still like...
They should have been running those programs.
Oh, worthless people. Which is fucked. I mean, like, and it makes you sad, but also, so part of... I'm kind of like 50-50 on movies like this where, like, so there's that part where she's running to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And they kind of score it, like, it's kind of like... And I mean, like, and part of me is like, this is so much sadder than it even appears on film.
Yeah.
Because it's just so fucking fucked. So, like, but they have to kind of make the movie shiny because they want people to see it and have a good time. So, like, it's just these kind of movies that make you go, okay, even this shiny version, like, because it's, like, not, there's, and then to know that there are so many other people who have experienced that same shit, then we'll never probably know their names.
Yeah, yeah, it's an excellent film. It took me a long time to see that movie, and when I did, I was mad at myself for not seeing it earlier, you know. So, my number three, Tiff. This one always burns my ass. This is like my angry list, right? That's like, why?
It's Montego's rage list.
Right. Why do these don't have movies? And that's Bass Reeve, man. He was born to slave parents in 1838, in Arkansas. He became the first black U.S. deputy marshal. And they do a little justice for him in that excellent show that was canceled. They got all the awards. What was it? You know, the superheroes had Regina King in it. You know,
Watchmen.
Yeah, the Watchmen TV show. Yeah, it was a lot about Bass Reeves in that. And but you know, why does this guy doesn't have his own movie? Holy shit! You know, and then when you find out that 2/3 of the cowboys in the Old West were black men,
black men,
and Every Western you see.
Where are the black people?
Not nowhere. You know?
Yeah, not a single. Because I remember hearing, like, I think I found that out, like, relatively recently with, like, in the past 7 to 10 years, I found that out. And I was like, how?
Right, right. How do we get this revisionist history to so far off of what, you know, of what was real? You know, it's just like, wow. So I would love to see a Bass Reeves film, man. I mean, you're going to tell me that's not enough for a film? You know, born a slave and then a marshal and he's arresting people? Holy shit. And he was known to be a badass, like 6 foot.
It's just crazy that, like, how much Pat... Okay, so, like, today's movie, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's like these people who have been so persecuted by the same, and then they go on to do these crazily, like, heroic and good things for the same people who are fucking them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's just insane to me. Like, that that we wouldn't just make the movie. Actually, would love to watch that film.
Yeah. So, your number two, Tiff.
So, my number two, this is the movie that I kind of thought maybe would be on both our lists if you did a movie.
Okay.
Is the movie Glory.
Glory. I love Glory.
I love Glory. If you've never seen the movie Glory, it's about Black Civil War fighters. And it's got Cary Elwes in it.
Yeah, Matthew Broderick.
Matthew Broderick, who I like, but, you know, the movie is just really good. As far as, like, makes you, like, it's one of those movies that when you watch it, you feel like maybe we could do something. We could change a little bit. But, like, it's obviously not true because that movie is about something that happened a really long time ago and we haven't changed very much.
No, this thing actually works, but...
Shit. So, but I do love that movie. I recommend it. It's a kind of long movie, I kind of think, for, like, when you try to sell someone to watch a movie.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, it's 2 hours or something. And they're like,
ugh. Yeah, yeah.
But I recommend it if you've never seen it.
Yeah, excellent, excellent, excellent film. My next person who should have a goddamn movie is Henry Johnson. He was a soldier in a black regiment in the New York National Guard, which was later renamed the 369th Infantry. Became known as the Harlem Hellfighters. So these cats were,
that's cool.
Yeah, oh yeah. During World War One, Johnson and his regime went to and worked for the French army, you know, because they wouldn't allow black soldiers to wear the American uniform. So,
oh, like we saw in that movie.
Oh yeah, that was the very, very, very true thing. And so in 1918, became under attack under German soldiers, and they fought their way out of it, man. I mean, it just, I mean, single-handedly fought with his rifle and a knife and a club and bullets. And just hearing this story is just like, where's the goddamn movie, dude?
You know? Yeah. He's, like, some of them are like, you would have to barely do anything.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's already cool.
Yeah, it's already written.
No padding. No padding necessary.
It's already written, right? Why is this not a movie for this? All the World War II flicks that we didn't see, and we don't have this.
So many, and some that are fucking worthless.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Of course. So where's that goddamn movie? All right, Tiff, you're number one.
Okay. My number one.
Yes.
Is Saving Private Ryan.
Saving the Private. Gotcha.
And I will say that it's my number one because I actually don't like to watch it.
Oh yeah, because it's so disturbing.
Yes. Yeah. So I think that if you've seen it once, you'll never forget Giovanni Ribisi.
Oh, getting yeah.
And then being like, let's give him more morphine. Yeah. I mean, like, it's just fucked up. And I think that I appreciate that film because a lot of war movies do show stuff happening, but they
not like,
I think
that.
I think they go like this.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, not like that.
And that movie was like,
right, not like that.
Keep looking, motherfucker, because it's terrible the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It was, not like that. Woo! Got me sweating over here just thinking about it.
Got me all the way fucked up. Yep. Go on.
So the number one movie on my list, Tiff, that you like,
the dream movie.
Why there is this, god damn it, how many times do we gotta hear about, you know, a black man being born in 247 BC, you know, in Carthage, Hannibal Barco of Carthage. I mean, this man almost conquered the civilized world. He marched from Africa through the Roman Empire all the way to Italy. Why the hell is there not a Hannibal movie? What the hell? I mean, if you start reading that history, it's
there's so many Napoleon movies.
Yes.
So many Napoleon movies.
Yes. I mean,
he shows up fucking everywhere. He shows up in sci-fi comedy.
Yep.
He shows up everywhere.
Yep.
Caesar.
Yep. No,
all over the fucking place.
Not one movie? And if it is a movie, it's so, I ain't never heard of it, so that's bad. <You know? laughs> I mean, it might be some little movie somewhere out there. But
sure. I mean, all the people on your list, there could be like an independent film somewhere on someone's hard drive. We don't really know. But what we're talking about is a movie, blockbuster bullshit. Like, even the movie that we're about to talk to today, if you say it to somebody on I'm gonna go see, they're like, I don't know what that is.
Yep. And my last push for this is that I'm Jonathan Majors for Hannibal. I want to see Jonathan Majors
for Hannibal 2023.
Holy shit, man, why is there not a Hannibal movie? I don't understand. So anyway, man, that's my pissed off list. It's over. And
perfect.
And we're gonna take a break, And we're going to be right back. All right, man. We are back. It's time for the big one of the day. We're talking about the 2022 film Devotion. PG-13, 2 hours, 19 minutes. Action drama war is what it's called.
War. Okay.
So here's a synopsis, Tiff. A pair of U.S. Navy fighter pilots risk their lives during the Korean War and become some of the most of the Navy's most celebrated wingmen. Is that true? And
I don't know.
So that's it. So who's in this movie, sure. Tiff?
Okay. So in this film, we have obviously Jonathan Majors.
Yes, Jonathan Majors.
Glenn Powell.
Making that money, Majors. Glenn Powell from Top Gun Maverick.
Christina Jackson.
Yes.
That's Daisy, and she's kind of, I think she's maybe a newcomer. Joe Jonas.
Yeah. I didn't even pay him any attention.
Yeah, he's one of the extra wingmen. Thomas Sadowski.
Yes.
Zarinda Swan.
Yes.
Darren Kagasoff. And there's a bunch of other people who, like, don't have, they're not really anybody. So Sarinda Swan was Elizabeth Taylor.
Yeah, well, she did an excellent job, man.
Yeah, she did too. So then there's, like, Nick Hargrove, Spencer Neville, Dean Denton. These people that are just, like, nobody. No, I hate to say nobody, but they're just, like, they're not, like, anybody you'd recognize.
Effing nobody. So let's move on.
Fucking nobodies. Right. Congratulations. We would have to wait a long time for those credits.
Right. So, man, you know, there's a lot of stuff we could have did this week, but I saw this and I saw the trailer and I was like, wow, this goddamn thing looks ridiculous. And nobody's talking about it at all, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I watched the trailer again, and I said, no, we got to do this. I mean, and not because this dude is black, because this looks awesome. And it's a bonus that this is about a black man that actually lived. Here's a movie that probably should have got made years ago, you know, but I'm glad it's been made now. So I had never heard of this man, Tiff, Jesse Brown. It's the first time I heard his name. And I'm actually pretty impressed with this story. So before we go any further, it is time for one word. One word, Tiff. What you got?
My word is emotional.
Oh, yes.
So, So overall, this film, I think it's not the perfect film. It's a decent film. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, part of me kind of wanted to see less about his friend. I mean, obviously, at one point, it becomes impossible to not tell that story of the friend, because there's all these things that happen to Jesse before he arrives, before he's attained this position.
Yeah.
And part of me would want to have seen, like, maybe more of that.
Huh.
Because, like, one of the things, so, like, there's a couple
scenes. Like, the early years and stuff like that?
Yeah, like, when he's coming up as a pilot. So, like, one of the things that he does is he said this little notebook that he has written down everything that bad that anyone has ever said to him.
Yeah, it was bizarre.
And he reads it to himself. And I thought, so there was some that was very hard to see. But then, honestly, I cried every time. There was, like, I think twice that they read a letter from him.
Yeah.
To her. And it was just so, like, he really loved her. And he just had this, you know, the movie is called Devotion, obviously, for a reason, but... Like, he just had this dream. He had this idea that this is what and he worked so hard for it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, harder than anybody would ever expect.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I say it's very emotional to watch.
Okay. All right. That's your word. I'm sticking with it.
That's my word.
My word is stupendous.
I thought you were going to say stupid. And I was like, what the fuck?
No, I was so surprised by this film.
I was so worried for a second. I was like, what?
Stupid. Like, well, I wasted my time, though.
I even, like, all this buildup and then my one word, stupid.
No. Stupendous. The movie was stupendous, man. It had a huge weakness in it, and I'll get into that. But I was able to overlook that weakness because I knew what the direction it was going, because the film made it obvious that it was going that direction. However, from the moment when the score started, I thought the score was so goddamn good. I was like, whoa, the score is good. I was feeling the score throughout the whole movie. I was like, damn. Sure. And when's the last time I said that? You know what I'm saying? I haven't said that in a long time, that the score really, really impressed me. And the cinematography impressed me. The acting impressed me. I get nervous when stuff like this comes out about Black history, because it, like, a lot of times in films is bad, you know, and you're like, God damn it. You know, we had a shot to show a good story and it turned out to be some bullshit, you know. Not this film. This film fired on all cylinders the whole time, and it didn't get bogged down, in my opinion, which is a lot of pitfalls of showing the mistreatment of, like, a lot of, you know, people in my community, you know, throughout the years. The shit happens, but I'm glad they don't concentrate on it and have, like, they have a lot of movies like this have a tendency to make you feel sorry for a person. You know, you'd be like, damn, I feel so bad for them, you know. And that's not the message of this film, you know. And it did a really good job at showing a man, you know, because we get so racked up in, you know, color in this goddamn country. And, it, you know, most Black men just want to say, God damn it, we just men, you know, stop with the differentiating. And so that's what this film did a really good job, but showing you the bullshit too. You know what I'm saying?
I thought, like, Daisy's character says, she doesn't have a lot of lines in the film because she's not in it very much because he's away.
Yeah.
But a lot of what she says is just, I feel like one of the last things she says in the movie is maybe one of the most beautiful things. I cried.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, like, yeah, so
it was people crying all through the damn movie, you know. Yeah, it was like, whoa, it was heavy. It was heavy. Is. Yeah, it was heavy.
But also, like, they think that, you know, along with that, they do a good job of showing. So, like, okay, they are basically at first testing, because this is before the aggression, like, there's the sign of aggression that actually launches there or whatever.
Yes, yeah, 1950, so it's like, you know, almost 10 years after World War II, you know, so Cold War is happening.
Yeah, and yes, McCarthyism, the Red Scare, when the communism is taking over. And so they're test pilots at first, basically. Well, so they're testing these new planes.
Well, they're just pilots at first, doing nothing bored. Right. You know, and that's when the Glenn Powell character shows up on the, you know, on deck. Like, he's like, ain't nothing happening here. You know? And then they become test pilots, right? For the new Corsair, you know, overly powered aircraft. Go ahead.
And it's a very, like, from, I don't know anything about planes or military stuff, but, like, I mean, from what they're saying is it's like a, in some ways, a better plane, but obviously a more difficult plane to fly. Because he's saying, like, it's hard to see. You have to, like, rely on people telling you, like, this is the coordinate, this is the whatever. And so I know, like, kind of a lot of this movie is, like, their relationship, their buildup, they're on the, so at first they're at a grounded station, and then since they're Navy pilots, they go out onto the boat eventually, the ship, the naval ship.
Yeah.
But I will say that there is a part in this movie that confused me.
Uh-huh.
And I want to know if you can answer a question.
All right.
So, you know, they live in a very beautiful house that obviously is in a white neighborhood and they have trouble.
Yeah.
And then they move, you know, they move and then he goes off to the airbase. So there's the first, they offer them, like, one of you needs to test this thing. And then the one guy volunteers and then, like, then he's like, haha, the rest of you are going to be doing garbage work because you didn't volunteer. Then this guy's flying and they're telling him to pull up.
Yeah.
And he doesn't. Does he not hear them? He doesn't say anything. He, like, it's almost like he purposefully is he, like, fly blind? Like, I don't understand. There's really no communication during that part to say, like, what went wrong. Like, why didn't he pull up sooner?
Yeah, I think the pilot was trying to trust his instincts. And what they really wanted to show you is that because the plane was so big and how it was designed that, you know, you really can't, your instincts didn't really help you fly that damn thing, that you really needed to listen and work that plane as a team, which was something foreign to all of them. And because, you know, he heard them telling him what to do, he thought that his instincts, he thought he was, you know, he was fine. Okay. You know? So that's how I got that.
I feel like he should have said something then. Maybe because in the real version of events, he didn't say anything. But, like, you would think he would be, like, coming in for a blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
He just said, he's like this.
Yeah, and then he pulled the yoke and it was over. But I like the scene in the beginning, though, when he takes them.
That's not funny, because obviously it really
happened. That shit really happened, right? I like the scene in the beginning when he takes Tom through the lighthouse and stuff like that. It was so weird to me when he was in there talking to himself and, you know, doing that. You know, I thought it was self-loathing. When that shit was happening, I was sitting there watching it. I was like, this moment is crazy. I was like, God damn, why would he do that to himself? You know, I mean, I've never done that a day of my life, you know what I'm saying? And shit is hard, you know what I'm saying? But I guess we all deal with shit in different ways.
Yeah, I think, I mean, like, obviously, yeah, it was obviously something. I honestly think that if you were to ask a psychologist if that was a good thing to
they would say don't do that. God damn, no.
But obviously, I think that what they're in his mindset, and maybe for him it did, made him
try harder.
Made him stronger.
I couldn't do that personally.
I said that's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. I could not do that. So I like the Daisy character. The little girl was
cute, but doesn't do nothing. She just kind of sits around.
I wish she would have smiled a little bit. Yeah. So, you know,
It was like, maybe a little too young to talk or something like that. But she looked old enough to talk, but
yeah,
she just didn't say anything.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, man, so he has these buddies and they're not racist. They're
average Americans of the time, I feel.
Yeah, they tolerated his presence. Except for one fella, you know.
There's like a military, so like they're on the ship, and some of them are army.
Yeah, but I'm speaking about the squadron.
Okay, so his flight friends.
He wasn't dealing with them. You know, it's only one of them that he was dealing with. The only one person he invited to the house, because the other ones, he was just like, you know, I mean, the comments, you know, can you believe we actually here with a colored dude, you know? Mm-hmm. And Tom never fed into that. You know, he just kept walking, you know, got away from the guy when he started talking that stuff. He wasn't racist at all. Or, you know, I mean, it's a few things. You can say prejudice, you can say racist. You know, you say people all the time, and I hear that and I'm like, no, motherfuckers is still just like that. You know, it's nothing different that's going on there that's, you know, happening now. But you know, he earned his spot amongst them, you know, and that plane, they were some big bastards compared to what they were flying and stuff.
It just, even like, I don't know anything about planes, but even seeing them, I was like, that looks chunky.
Yeah. I mean, and those planes have always been kind of designed that way. I mean, even when they became jets and stuff, they were like these big, dumb looking things. It's just like,
yeah,
who thinks this is a good idea?
It doesn't look like it should be flying.
No, really. It doesn't. So they're going to war. And so I'm sitting here the whole time like, it must gonna be in a Korean conflict, because I didn't know anything about the movie. I didn't look into it or anything.
Yeah, I thought when I first started watching it that they were simply test pilots.
Okay, yeah, no, they were testing.
Well, I mean, obviously, everyone in the military, even if they're a test pilot and you go to active, you just go. I just didn't realize that was gonna happen in the film, that they were actually gonna go and then
conflict. In the trailer, you could see a bunch of fighting and stuff. So
I didn't watch the trailer.
Yeah, yeah. So I knew that was gonna happen. So when they get the call to go, you know, first they were going like to be at the Russian border, you know what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden they're going to Korea, but they get the chance to go to Paris, you know, before
Paris
it happened.
Is the best part of the movie.
I loved it.
Because he just shines.
I love Paris. When, you know, and I was so surprised, cause history always try to portray Paris as this tolerant place where a black people didn't feel black.
That's what I thought too. But then in this movie,
it was not that way at all.
It was as bad as America.
It was as, if not even worse, you know, because it was like, he is not coming in here, you know. But I love the Elizabeth Taylor thing. And I wonder, I'm like, I hope they didn't embellish this. I hope this shit happened. You know, because she invited them and they went, and the army of clowns was there, you know, and the lady did such a good job portraying Liz Taylor at the time, you know, because, you know, just from watching her movies and stuff, I was like, damn, she got her down pat, man. You know, and, you know, the whole gambling thing, and then going to the, you know, the outside bar, and then the bar fight, you know, and I'm just like, I hope all this happened. I hope this is not the movie just making the movie more watchable, you know, for his life.
But still, I mean, like, even if it was a little embellished, it made sense for the film, and that, you know.
I knew this bastard wasn't coming back from this conflict, because
I actually didn't know that.
The movie, I felt like the movie went so hard at showing these heartfelt scenes between him and Daisy that I was like, I sat there and I was with my wife and I said, well, you know his ass. I said, you know how this movie gonna end. I said it like twice. I was like, you know how this movie gonna end. You know how this movie gonna end.
I actually did not know that. So here's, okay. So we're kind of like, so they, he sends her a letter.
Yes.
On her birthday and he's hidden a present in the house.
Pretty smart, by the way, too. I was like,
yeah, oh, that's so smart. I would never, and I was thinking like, how would I ever think to do that? But like, so she finds it. It's very sweet, you know, and she just, but she thinks he's coming home. So like they, one of the things they have to do is blow up a bridge.
Yeah.
So that the supply chain or whatever it is, the military chain is makes it difficult.
Which was a slick scene. The whole, that whole scene was a slick scene. And you know, him, you know, going. And
I was like, fuck, watching him be shot at. I was like, he's going to die.
Yeah. I'm thinking the whole time that, you know, at any moment, something's going to happen. You know, but the scene where he had on the beach with Daisy and then in the house with Daisy, they went hard, in my opinion, with showing he wasn't coming back. They, you know, saying all his goodbyes and shit. And I was just like, oh, he ain't coming back from this thing. So the footage of the battle at the bridge was phenomenal. It was so good, man. I mean, so intense. And, you know, just great. So then they have the army dudes on the ground. And I'm like, felt like I was watching a MASH rerun when when I was, but those of you who are older know that show was on TV for 1,000 years and it was always cold and it was always a problem, you know. Indeed. So, you know, they got to go pull their ass out the meat grinder, you know, and it's kind of funny. They started doing a dual story with the guy who played Buddy Gill, who was the piece. I think he was, I think Buddy Gill was the piece of shit guy that was, I think that was racist and couldn't stand his ass. You know, he was so preoccupied with him the whole movie. And I'm sitting here thinking, was this guy real or did they already just portraying it like it was more of a guy thing and not all of them? You know, type of thing that was, I happen to think there was probably all of them, you know, that was tripping.
I would assume so.
And I tell you which one thing that really got me choked up at the one scene where he spoke with the guy. He was like the brothers and the brothers bought him a watch, a Rolex. While they was in Paris.
Oh my God. And it was so sad because I actually like that scene. And I'm sure for, you know, because I was like, this is them saying, hey, motherfucker, watching this film. Yeah, you don't know any of these fucking people either.
Yeah, well, I didn't feel that way the way I did. Go ahead.
I feel like there was just like, they were just, you know, like there were so many more black servicemen than people know.
Oh, well, that is true. But when that scene happened, I kind of thought, I said, wow, I'm surprised that he don't hang out with the brothers on his off time, his downtime and stuff like that.
I think he
that.
Did sometimes. That's why they said they were waiting for him.
Right. And that's what I'm saying.
And he didn't show up. So it must have just been something they did every so often.
Yeah. And so I was kind of like, of course he would, you know. So, you know, it's not like he's like self-loathing. You know, I don't like my race. I want to hang with these white dudes.
I think they just didn't show.
Yeah. But I'm glad they put that scene in there because it was powerful. To me, that was one of the most powerful scenes they showed, you know. And I was just like, oh, that shit got kind of at me like, no. So then we got this conflict. They go in for the rescue. His plane is shot. I don't know.
Was it shot or did he? Yes.
He got shot.
Okay. I thought his plane just started leaking fuel. I must have missed the part where he got shot. So he's leaking. No.
Oil.
Oil.
Yeah. He got the plane. They went low and he got shot and it was leaking oil. And I'm like, why do they got on parachutes if they're not going to use them?
Yeah. Why are they? Don't they not use the parachute?
I don't know. I would not crash the fucking plane if I'm going to crash the plane. If I'm going to crash the plane, I'm bailing out.
And so they have that obviously like landing procedure because he like drops his bombs in his tanks and whatever. And then he comes in and there is no land. You're not going to land. Tiff, like you said,
I'm sitting there the whole time like, wait a minute. You know,
eject.
I don't know procedure. And I know back in the day, they physically had to get out and walk on that wing and dive out. It was no ejector seat. So I knew that. Mm-hmm. But you would just, you know, if you can go higher and get the hell out. You know, they didn't do that. You know, they rolled that plane all the way to it couldn't fly anymore. And then his buddy, he did the exact same thing. And I'm sitting there, Tiff, just like, why didn't they just, I mean, get out of that goddamn thing?
I don't know. There must have been a reason.
It had to be a reason, right? Because
otherwise, why wouldn't you? Right. You would want to survive.
They had on shoots, though. So,
right. So I don't know.
The hell was that? You know,
he did try to. He couldn't get up high enough because he said that he lost. He did lose control of the stick as well at one point.
That was
afterwards. I feel like, you know.
Right.
But so he crashes, and then they watch from above, and then they realize, because, you know, search and rescue is going to come as long as he clears the ship plane. But then they realize that he's not getting out, and the plane's on fire.
Yeah, the most heroic thing I think I've ever seen on film was Tom crashing his plane after him to go get him. You know, I was like,
yeah, I mean, like, damn. I think, like, obviously, like, it was important for him that everyone came home. That was kind of one of the things they always talked about. And so, like, he gets out, and then he's stuck. But, like, really stuck. I guess, I mean, it was just, I thought, so here's, remember when I said I thought something else would happen? I thought he was going to lose a leg and not be able to fly anymore.
That's what I thought, too. That's what I thought, yeah.
But, no, he just, okay. So, follow up. It was just the one leg. Wouldn't you
cut it off?
Yeah.
How did you know it was just one leg? I thought it was.
I thought because they show the one leg. But I don't know how stuck he was in there. You know what I mean? But, like,
yeah.
I guess that's I mean, I don't know. There are some, like, really horrifying choices that you would have to make.
Yeah.
Like, do you chop both your legs off and try to tourniquet yourself until they.
Well, he actually even got to the point that he said, he was like, Tom, it's okay. You know.
Yeah, because and I think what happened, obviously, it's cold.
Yeah.
So he's bleeding to death, but also, like, when there's other factors like
hypothermia, weather, stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, it makes it happen faster. And you guys, when he died, it was very sudden. Because I was like, oh, he's going to wake up.
No, I knew he was. I knew what he was,
I thought,
toast.
But nope.
I knew he was. So I liked the little helicopter pilot. It was like, shit, I go who down there?
You know? He was like, so he was Arkansas, and he was Mississippi Brown, and he was Arkansas.
Oh, he was Alabama.
Which one?
The guy.
Oh, Alabama. Yes, he said, because he calls him Bama.
Call him Bama, yeah. So
I married her, that's what he says. And then he's like, I'll go down there, I'll get the chopper down. And he does. He gets it down there, and then, it's such a fucking tragedy.
Yeah. So, you know, he doesn't come home. And it took, like, years to go get his body, you know.
Yeah, like, he was like, I'll come back for you. And then that guy didn't even get it done in his lifetime because it's just so hard to get into.
Yeah.
North Korea, which is where the plane crashed.
Right. So.
But, like, you know, I just want to talk about. So he's awarded a Medal of Honor for his heroic deeds. And then I think he's also. So both of them are.
Yeah.
Posthumously and whatever. You know, and at the end of the movie, he says, I'm sorry, I didn't save him. And she said, I didn't ask you to, you know, it wasn't your job to save him.
Yeah.
She said, I just asked you to be there for him, and you were. And I thought that was such a beautiful thing to say, because a lot of times you can't prevent tragedy. You can only be kind to people as much as you can.
Yeah. And he said he was so nervous, he didn't want to look her in the face, you know, because he didn't, he kind of, in his mind, he made a promise that he would bring him home.
Bring him home.
Yeah. And it didn't happen. This movie was the greatest, man. I enjoyed my time at the movies with this one. It was shot so well. Mm-hmm. The actors were developed really well. I mean, I cared for both of these men so much, you know.
Do you want to do the good, the bad, the ugly?
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying. So what is let's do the good, the bad, the ugly. What is the good, Tiflebot?
For me, I think the good is.
I just said my good.
Yeah, is telling a story that we've never heard before, like that obviously needs to be told.
Yes. Okay, Tiff, what is the bad?
I think the bad would be that I wanted to see a little bit more of, like, his
early years.
Like, what happened to him. Right, because we see him here as a, and there's nothing wrong with it, as an established person, but I would, like, wanted to see those parts where, like, he, you know.
Yeah. For me, the bad, I already mentioned, was the telegraph and that he wasn't coming home. It kind of, it took me out of the movie both times that it happened. You know, I was like. I literally, like, leaned over and was like, well, you know, he ain't coming home. I said it twice, you know, because they went so hard. I was like, fuck, damn, y'all could have did a better job than that. So what is the ugly, Tiflebot?
I think the ugly is hard for this movie because I think it's very much just
it is.
Fine, you know. But I would say that the ugly for this movie would be that I think I would have liked to have seen maybe less of the Glenn Powell character. Isn't that funny? I mean, I liked him.
Yeah.
But, like. And I know it's a story about both of them and their relationship and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But in some ways, I'm like, you don't need to be here so much.
Oh, really? So that did not bother me at all. I actually liked that it was a dual story mm-hmm. going on. I think it brought it out of from being like something that's forgettable. that there were two really good stories happening. So the ugly for me was that it's a true story and that he didn't come home, you know, because I would have liked to.
Yeah, I guess that's, yeah.
I would have liked to see a happy ending at the end of this thing. And, you know, it was a true story. And so when I, because I actually stayed like and watched a lot of the credits because they had like
actual pictures yeah.
and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was just interesting, some of the choices that they went with some of these actors and stuff. I was like, oh, wow, sure. That's interesting. You know, and seeing the actual people and stuff. Like, even like Daisy, because in the film, she's a heavyset, a black woman, but sure. in real life, she was really thin, you know, and mm-hmm. I was like, oh, wow, that's interesting. It just, you know, it's just interesting, you know, sure. So I was just like, oh, wow. And it, you know, and then the finishing the song, they had the theme song they had playing, and it was really good, you know, and I was like, damn, who the hell is this? You know, it was so good. But yeah, the ugly was is that, damn, I can't rewrite history. I'd like to see this dude, you know, alive, you know, even now saying, you know, yeah, this is my story, you know, but it wasn't. So that sadly. So that's it, man. Damn, I enjoyed this movie. I recommend it really, really, really high. I mean, if you like action movies, you got it. If you like movies that mean something, you got it, you know. And I don't think it went in any direction poorly. So anyway. Mm-hmm. It's Ben's we came to do the damn thing, Tiff, and we got it done.
We did.
Next week we're doing a Santa Claus movie. And we also mm-hmm. We also got a Patreon. We said that last week. We got a Patreon coming. Yeah. So until next week, man. I'm the host of Santa Patrol, and with my wonderful co-host, Miss Tipplebot. Say goodbye to the people, Tiff.
It's been a pleasure as always.
And until next week, y'all. We will be on
Patrol.